Welcome to Dating and Other Fucked Up Stories. I'm your host, Rachel Ash. Upon my debut into the dating world, I thought everyone had the same concept of what normal, decent, and acceptable was. It took the first unsolicited dick pic to bitch slap me back into reality, and holy shit! From that point on, I knew it was time to buckle up, ladies and gentlemen, because I was in the motherfucking wild, wild west. If you enjoy this episode today, feel free to send it to a friend in need. If you are listening on Apple, take a moment to write a review. I truly appreciate all of you. You all help keep this podcast alive. If you have any questions or your own fucked up story to share, feel free to slide into my DMs at @datingpodcast. To help us grow, click on the Support the Show link in the description of this episode. By supporting us, you help us expand our content and upgrade the show. Get early access to episodes and exclusive perks. Subscribe now on Patreon. This is how the game is going to go. To keep the identities of the dates anonymous, they have been given appropriate, I'll bet amusing names. Boys, you only get a name under certain circumstances. Here we go. 1. You fucked up. That's pretty self-explanatory. 2. Either you were weird or the date was just unforgettably fucked up or a combination of everything. 3. I liked you. But you ran, so now you get a story. It's possible, but extremely rare, for a date to make it to this podcast without meeting this criteria. However, there is always that one-off chance a date exceeds expectations and is spectacular. There are exceptions. The sun scorched my skin, warming my soul to the core. Goosebumps quickly followed as the sweat dripped down my neck towards the small of my back. From behind, he ran his fingers down my arms as he blew sensually into my ear. He wrapped his hands around my hands, firmly grasping the two handles of the jet ski. Then softly, carefully, he whispered, "Ride like your life depends on it." I lowered my eyes and smiled wickedly. My spirit opened up as I twisted my hand downward and raced through the turquoise waters of Pompano Beach. He held onto me tightly as we jumped the waves. It was liberating. I never felt so free. Jacques always knew how to bring out my wild side. He was, after all, an Aries. 15 minutes had passed before I decided to cut the engine. The jet ski bobbed up and down with every wave. It was a calm summer day. Jacques wasted no time. He abruptly shifted me around to face him. I was now straddling him and looking deeply into his hazel eyes. Holding my face in his hands, he pulled my face in close. We began to kiss each other passionately. No, not passionately. Ferociously. His kiss was warm, full, and slightly rough. The exhilaration from the jet ski ride had ignited fires within us both. I could not deny my desire. I felt it growing, more untamed by the second. There was something instinctual in it. I pressed my body up against him, and he pulled me even closer. We were both lost in a scene strained out of a Nicholas Sparks romance. He wanted all of me. I wanted him to take me. All of me. Breathless, I said, "No, we can't." He looked at me with frustration, then lifted me carefully off of him and dove into the sea. I barely knew this man. This was only the third or fourth date. We weren't exclusive yet.
and I have strict dating rules. I cannot give my body to someone who is not committed to me. It's not safe, emotionally or physically. We were far from the beach. The sea was dark, but I could see the silhouette of his beautiful tan body as he swam circles around the jet ski. He playfully ushered me to come in, but I hesitated. The dark ocean waters were slightly horrifying to me. What unknown lurks beneath the surface? When you think about it, I suppose this parallels my fears in life. It's the unknown that scares me. What lurks beneath the surface of a person? It's always a mystery. A box wrapped in several layers of wrapping paper. And over time, you unwrap it and discover something new about the person. And it's always not quite what you expected. He called out to me again to join him in the water. In the end, he did end up convincing me to jump in. It was hard to say no to him. The sea was warm, but occasionally I could feel cold spots as I swam. I tried to enjoy the moment and ignore my growing anxiety. A few minutes passed and Jacques helped me back onto the jet ski. He climbed behind me and held onto me in a big bear hug. I turned the key and slowly rotated the throttle and we rode back to the beach. Jacques. How to describe Jacques? His skin was sun-kissed, tan. He was exotic. His face was reminiscent of a Greek god statue, but he was far from being godlike. Nevertheless, he was handsome. When he held me, I felt safe and protected. It was a level of ease and embrace that is rare. All worries would melt away. There was a portion of me that felt whole again with him. A feeling I hadn't felt in years prior before my marriage dissolved. For so long, I had felt like a puzzle, missing an intricate piece of myself. And with Jacques, in this moment, I felt like he could be that missing piece. Now, 3 years later, when I think about this metaphorical concept of being an incomplete puzzle, it screams danger. No one should ever be dating to fill a void. I was young. Younger. I was a dating novice. I knew not what murky waters I was treading in. Even as a child, I always had to learn the hard way by experiencing it for myself. Let me spoil the story for you. Jacques was a shark. He struck me suddenly, without warning, realized I was not his type of prey, and released me back into the vast ocean of dating. Free, but now I was wounded. This would be an encounter that would take 3 months to recover from. Let's start from the beginning, shall we? Sometimes you get to the point where you just want to set up a first date at a Foot Locker so you can help him pick out the shoes he will eventually put on to run as fast as he can away from you. This story is one of those stories. July 10th, 2020. In the middle of a pandemic, we matched. Hinge. Quickly, we made plans to meet that Saturday at a rooftop bar called Sparrow in Flagler Village, an up-and-coming area in downtown Fort Lauderdale. I got all dolled up in my best little black dress and drove downtown. I met my date outside the Del Mar. At first glance, he was not particularly well-dressed. He was wearing glasses. I had no idea he wore glasses since he wasn't wearing glasses in any of his profile pictures. Maybe this was a rare occasion. Jacques is French and is from Lyon, France, and more recently, St. Bart's. His name is not really Jacques, though, but I always keep the identities of my dates anonymous. Jacques seems like an appropriate, you know, quintessential French name, so let's go with it, right? He was 5'7", with dark hair, hazel eyes, and a striking smile. His general appearance was approachable. Jacques and I walked inside the Del Mar into the Sparrow check-in next to the elevators. The hostess looked at us and asked, "Do you have a reservation?" I looked at my date. He replied, "No." Inside, I was screaming, "Really? Come on. You had one job. You set up a date. Follow through and make sure you snag a reservation. It's not hard. It's basic." And this immediately triggered two things in me. One, this guy doesn't have his shit together. Two, I have to take control. "Listen, that's okay. You failed the pop quiz. You have time to make it up on the exam." It does amaze me how guys can't seem to follow through and set up a date properly. It makes me wonder how successful they are in business. If I set up a business meeting with a potential client and we get to the restaurant only to be told we need a reservation, it would appear to the client that I am, one, unorganized, two, that I am unreliable, and three, that I am ill-equipped to handle their company's account. But this is dating. Nothing makes sense. Dressed in my cute black cocktail dress, I strutted fiercely through the door of the Del Mar. At this point, I'm annoyed. This guy dropped the ball. Time for me to take control. I really wish I didn't have to. That I could easily fall into my feminine side and let the man take the wheel. It's hard to let go and relinquish that level of control when the person I'm entrusting to steer the ship seems to lack direction. As we are exiting, I have the Open Table app open and begin scrolling. Boom, snagged a 7:30 reservation at Big City Tavern. I glanced over at Jacques, still slightly annoyed. I must have had resting bitch face as I told him we had a reservation at Big City. "Should we take my car?" he offered. Normally, I would decline the offer on a first date, but he didn't appear to be a serial killer, so I agreed. I walked over to the car, and it was a white Tesla. Wow. I have never been in one of these cars. I literally didn't even know how to open the door. Jacques had to show me how. We got in the car, and I noticed he was wearing a black ring on his ring finger. "What the fuck?" I think. I ask him about it. He then tells me it's the key to the car. "You're married to your Tesla?" I joked. He laughed. "Well, she does have a name. Her name is Tricity." At this point, I'm playing it off like a joke, but secretly I'm thinking, oh, geez, he's one of those guys who loves his car more than anything else in the world. We arrived at Big City Tavern. With a couple of drinks, we loosened up, and our conversations became more fluid, playful. I started telling him my life story and some of the crazy dates I had been on in the last 7 months of my dating career. He laughed. Somewhere in the conversation, zodiacs came up. I'm not sure what it is, but I keep matching with Aries lately. It's like I attract them, and I'm not even supposed to be compatible with them, I said. And when I said this, he stopped dead and looked at me with a straight face. He was serious, intense. "What?" I asked, concerned. "Oh, no. Are you an Aries?" He nodded. "Yes." "No way. You're joking," I replied. He shook his head. "No." "Oh no. See, I told you." Although we started off uneasy, we began to open up and connect. It was easy, effortless. The evening ended up on the beach with us kissing passionately under the stars. He had an interest in astronomy, not to be confused with astrology. He loved the stars and wanted to show me. Unfortunately, the Fort Lauderdale skyline has very poor visibility of the stars. He was fire, but so was I. and he was igniting parts of me that I never knew existed. His body was so warm. He was always so warm. Sun-kissed warm skin, dark hair, and a wild yet soft heart. I was into it. But he was 5'7", and with 5'7 men comes 5'7 baggage, if you know what I mean. And that stereotype rang true for Jacques, unfortunately. Occasionally, his comments would convey his insecurities, and I felt guilty wearing my platform heels. Curfew for downtown Fort Lauderdale was midnight. As we drove back to my car in his white Tesla, the city looked deserted. There was an eerie stillness that shook me. Yet, with pain, sickness, and isolation as the main motifs of life in 2020, Jacques and I had managed to stumble into each other and find happiness. Even for this one night, I smiled and looked at him. Of course, I had to play with his radio stations and put on some of my own soundtracks. Music he had never heard of, but took to immediately. We drove around the city, and I didn't want it to end. It was almost like our music was warming up a cold, dead city as we passed every building. We were the music. Life was still happening. Time was still ticking forward. "When can I see you again?" he asked as we pulled up to my car. I smiled and said softly, "Pick a date." Before the first date was over, he locked in the second date. His immediacy may have scared other women, but not me. It was attractive. His intention was real. Every man with intention should take note from Jacques. It took him only a few hours to realize what he wanted. And it was me. And I loved it.
There you have it. Until next story, this is Rachel Ash signing off.